Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see everybody here this evening. Wow, what a great return group from Sunday morning. Either you enjoyed it or you thought it might get better. I'm not sure, but you are here. So that's great to know. And the Lord is here. His power is here because His presence is here. There's never a divorce between those two, you know. Whenever the Lord is present, nothing is impossible. You need to believe that. Now, you know, the service tonight is focused for divine healing. That happens on purpose. It doesn't happen by chance. And the teaching of the Word tonight, I'm going to try to unfold that unto you and let you see that. Because, you know, my heart is that the delivery of the Word would never be just for the moment. The Word is eternal in its nature and its characteristics. Therefore, when you receive the Word of the Lord, what happens in you? Well, it happens now because the Word is now. The Word is never something that someday will finally be. He is the same yesterday. Are you in the room? Today? Come on, are you with me? Forever. So there is something in the right now that comes to you from the Word of the Lord. And when I speak of the Word, I don't just speak of a sermon. I speak of a person who is a communicator. We'll talk about him tonight. And he does these things. So there is something now. But if you'll take the keys that I give you this evening, it'll be something that'll work for you tomorrow. It'll be something that'll unlock the doors for next month, next week, and the years to come as well. It's strong in that way. But can I give you some help as far as receiving a miracle of the Lord? Maybe I need to ask a question. Who wants one? Who has something specific you want God to do? You know, you don't get a miracle. I found out you don't get a miracle generically. You got to go right into something to get a miracle. Are you listening? That's how miracles take place. They don't happen generically. They don't come by just saying, oh, I want the Lord to do something tonight. Well, good night. If He did something, you wouldn't know what it was. You need to pick something out for God to do and meet with Him there. You look throughout Scripture. I watched Jesus and the way that He ministered. Remember this morning I talked to you about the fact that whenever I wanted to receive something the Lord or enter into something concerning God, I would often, rather than just beg Him to do it, I would go to the Word to see where He does that kind of thing and watch how He does it. What is it that happens in those moments? And I noticed in the healing ministry of Jesus, or the moments in which miraculous things took place, He would often ask people a question. And His question to them, and face value, almost appeared to be absurd. I was reading the other day of a man that was blind that was calling out for mercy, and Jesus stopped, and they said, and He called the guy to come to Him, and the people all excited. Oh, He's telling me to come. He's telling me to come. He comes, and then the Lord says to the guy, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I'm thinking, come on, he's blind. Hello. Do we need a doctor here to tell us this? Do we need, you know, a prophetic gift to figure it out? He's blind. But my mentor always told me that God has reasons for everything that He does. That He's not unreasonable, that He has specific reasons. And if you don't understand His heart, he said, you'll never understand His hand. So he told me that you need to get into the Word and into His presence, not just to know what He said, but why He said it. Because if you understand His heart, if you understand why He's saying these things, it'll connect you much better with why these things take place, why His power will flow. And so I watched that, and I saw that wasn't a one-time moment. He would do this often. And I'm thinking, well, it's obvious what the need is, but you're not going there. You're asking the guy what he wants to receive. Why? And then I begin to get it, that Jesus doesn't really minister to people where they got problems. He ministers to people where their heart is open. Are you hearing me? Or maybe what the Lord understood is that people receive not where they have an issue. They receive where their spirit is open to it. And that's what he was trying to get out of the guy. And so I've made that practice for a great number of years. I tell people when we come to a healing service, don't just sit out there and say, well, I wonder if that'll happen. I wonder who will get it. Well, it won't be you, that's for sure, because it doesn't work that way. here's what you got to do. If you desire something of the Lord, you need to identify that. You know, I tell people you're fill in the blank on this line I'll give you. Tonight is my night for. And fill that blank in. I want you to do that right now. If you need a miracle, really want something. You say, well, I need a bunch of things. Well, good. We'll start with one. You can handle one. You say, all I get is one? No, you don't just get one. But you need to start with one. And the secret to that, and the reason for that, now I'm not preaching yet. All this is the offering you just gave is not for this. This is a freebie. All right? It's legal to smile on a Sunday night twice. All right? So some of you still good. All right? That's just wrong, isn't it, Rex? It's just wrong. You know, what can I say? I was raised in New York. I'm rude, and I don't even know it. I just... But here's the thing. If you try to go for 20, it's too many. It's not that he can't do 20. He can do 50 tonight. That's not the point. But 20 is too many for you to try to grab a hold of. You need to start with one. And the moment what happens, if you'll enter into the place where that one need is met, if you can do that, if you can step into that moment where that need is met, let me tell you what you just did. You just stepped into the place where every need is met. Did you get that? That's all it takes. And so I'm being very practical tonight. You like that? I'm being very practical. Anytime you want to get a miracle, don't try to go for 40 things. It becomes too confusing to you. Start with one. And just say, Lord, this is what I want. And that's what Jesus was getting that guy to do. I mean, look, yeah, he was blind, but he probably had a bunch of other needs. If you're blind, you're probably poor too. Huh? And if you're blind, you probably got a bunch of other issues. But he didn't. He just said, what do you want me to do? He nailed it down to one thing, and there was a miracle that took place for him. Have you picked out something for God to do tonight? Do it right now. Do it right now. And say, Lord, this is what I want to have happen in me this evening. I know this is a night where we're focusing on divine healing, but maybe that's not your issue tonight. Maybe yours is an emotional thing. Maybe yours is a relational matter. Maybe yours has to do with a financial thing. Just fill in the blank. And so what do I do then? Then you look for something to happen between you and God. Because it will. It will. That's the whole idea. Miracles don't happen because we have the right scripture verses and we pray them in the right order. They happen because we encounter the one who the scripture is speaking about. I love the book. I love the study of the Word of God. I love the theology, proper theology of scripture, but I want to meet with the author. And in the meeting of the author of that, when he speaks these things into your life, there's wonderful transformation that happens in that way. And you know, when I first met your pastor many years ago, healing happened in our ministry basically one way, and that was through the laying on of hands, which is a great biblical way to do it, and still we do that on occasions, but they're rare occasions, because about 10 years ago, was it 10 years ago, babe? When did we leave our last pastor? Oh, she's a better clock, a calendar than me. How long? 11 years. It changes every year. It's hard to keep up with that. You notice every year. Yeah, but that's deep, isn't it? That was very deep. But it was where I would finish my last pastorate, and I was speaking at a convention for Brother Schambach, and when I stood up, the minister, in the way in which he'd always seen me do, in the way I thought I would do that night, and that was to preach the word and to lay hands on the sick for healing, the Spirit of God spoke very gently to me, and he just said, don't preach now, when I stood up to preach, and that's all I do. My wife sings, plays, my kids all do that stuff, not me. I don't do that. I went into a church in Illinois a few years ago, and when I got in there, it was my first day. No one knew me, but they knew I was a speaker. And when I stepped in, and someone in the foyer said to me, "Oh, are you going to sing for us today?" And I said, "No, I already decided I like you, you know, so I wouldn't do that to you." But when he said, "Don't preach now," I thought, "Oh Jesus, what am I going to do?" But really, I mean, I was blown away, and so I won't go into it longer, but I probably explained it more thoroughly when I was here last year. But several minutes went by. When he said, don't preach, and since that's the only thing I do, I just stood there. You know, I looked like I had a stroke or something. I'm just staring at everybody, and they're waiting for me to get going, and I'm not doing anything at all because I'm waiting for the next word. When he says, don't do something, that doesn't mean I'll think up something to do. You know, so I'm looking for the next prompt, but the next prompt isn't coming. Or if it was coming, I was missing it. And so I stood there, and we had a staring contest. I looked at that audience, they looked at me, and that went on for, it really wasn't forever, it wasn't like an hour or something like that, but I'll tell you, it seemed like it. You know how that is, when you're in a moment like that, it seemed like forever, but it was several minutes, and then finally people began to stand up all over the room and just said, I got healed of this, I got healed of this, I got healed of this. And I was shocked, I didn't even know it was coming like that. And I thought it was just a one-night fluke, you know. That was fun, wasn't it? Well, now let's get back to the routine of business. But from that day on, almost every time, the healing happens in that way. I always kind of stay off to the sides in an auditorium, not because I'm aloof, but because he told me, he said, you'll know whether you're to lay hands on the people or not by indicators. If there's an indication of healing that comes in the room, and I see them as streams of healing. He says, well, if you see them, you'll know that I'm healing all over the audience. If you don't see them, then pray for the sick like I told you to do in the beginning. And so that's why I don't sit in the center like that, like a lot of folks do that minister. I kind of hang to the sides where I can look at the crowd. You may be thinking I just wanted to check your hairdo out, but that's not what I was doing tonight. I was looking for the flow of God, and I saw it. I saw three clear streams of healing come into this room as we were worshiping. So that tells me a couple of things. First of all, it tells me he's healing now. He is a now God, but he's healing now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's not, when I see that, it's not a prophetic thing. It's not like by the end of the service. It's, oh no, he's saying to me, do you see what's going on? And I say, yes, I do. And I'll tell you what, it don't make any difference whether it's a big crowd or a small crowd. Jesus is always the same. If you're hungry and you're thirsty, you'll connect with it because it's a healing flow. It's not a word of knowledge for two or three people or two or three things. It's a healing flow that's in this room, and anyone that wants a miracle can grab that miracle. I want you to start looking for a miracle tonight. Don't look for the end of a service prayer. I want you to start looking for a miracle right now in your life. And watch what God will do for you in that way. Come on, are you with me on that? Come on, open yourself to us as you wonderfully do, as you always do. You're the living Word of God who speaks into our hearts and commands light to come where there is darkness. There is no one like you. You're awesome in that way. You have no barrier. You have no limitation. I magnify you in that sense, in this very way. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, if you have scripture with you, Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, or if you're like Brother Rex and you have the whole book memorized, that's another matter, but for, you know, if we say that, Finest Dake had the whole book memorized. Can you imagine that? Yeah, the whole Bible in the King James Version, the one that Paul wrote. He had the whole book memorized. But since most of us don't have that, you'll probably want to turn to it. But you'll remember it when I say it because it's not an unknown scripture. The writer says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are. Now, there's more, but I want to pause there for purpose. And I'm going to read the rest, not much more, but I want you to think about what I'm reading right now. Because see, you know, what happens, especially when you come to familiar scripture, is sometimes we don't even listen to it anymore. We're just routine with it. Look at this again. The Spirit himself bears witness. You understand what that means, don't you? You understand what it means to bear witness? He clues you in. All right? He causes you to know. There is a sense of harmonizing that rings in your heart that comes from his heart. All right? You know you're on the same page. Am I making sense now? I'm preaching like a thesaurus. You're grooving. You're on the same vibe. All right? It's coming through. I need you to know something about our God. He's a communicator. That's why he's given and known by the name, the Word. You understand in Scripture, whenever you read the names of God, and throughout Scripture, there are many names that he has identified himself by. As he would come to people of old, he would identify himself by a name. All right?
So you all know some of those Hebrew names, Jehovah Jireh, Shaddai, and so on. And those are wonderful names. The reason why that he has identified himself with a myriad of names is not because he's got an identity problem. It's not because he's confused about who he is. It's because those names speak to us of more than a title, but it speaks to us of something indicative to his nature and his character. So the names of the Lord are not titles like when we say, well, this guy's Bill, this is Fred, now we know who this is. This is Fred over here, and there's Bill over there. That's not the way names were given in Scripture. Names spoke something about the personality and the character and the nature of the individual. In fact, that's the reason why oftentimes in Scripture that when one would have a life change, they would also get a name change. And thus, an Abram becomes an Abraham, a Sarai becomes a Sarah, you understand, a Jacob becomes an Israel. You'll see that take place in Scripture, that when a life change happens, then a name change would be involved in that, because the name would describe or reveal something about that person, that individual. Well, there are many names of God that we could go through and talk about, but there's one that everybody knows, and that's this one that he is called the Word of God. All right, and let me tell you that no one could have a name like the Word and be a mute. Now, I say it somewhat humorously, but I want you to think about that, because there are plenty of people who say God doesn't speak to them. That's not true. So when he doesn't speak to me, or not much, maybe a lot to the pastor, maybe a lot, but not to me. Yes, no, he does, because this is the nature of our God. He's a talking God. He's always talking. Do you know that from the very beginning in Scripture, we find this, that even in Genesis, the very first chapter, that there are two things that you see about God before the earth was formed as we see it and know it right now. And those two things are this. Number one, he was moving. Number two, he was talking. You realize that? In Genesis chapter 1, when the earth was still in chaotic form, when darkness was everywhere, here's what you got. The Spirit of God is moving on the face of the deep, and God said. And you'll find throughout, and then you find the very next day, he's still talking. And the very next day, he's still talking. And what he's saying is becoming. What he's saying is being formed. And you find that throughout the Scripture. He's called the Word of God. Let me tell you about our God. He is a talking God. And I said something to you this morning. I said that whatever you see, you can do. When there comes light, you can move in that very way. There comes revelation, you can enter into that. In fact, that's why light is given. But I also told you that whatever you hear, you become. Because the Word of God is not just informative, it is creative. And it forms within the individual that which is being declared. That is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is seen in this, that it creates in the hearer the thing that is being declared. Let me say it again. It creates in the hearer the thing that's being declared. That's why when Jesus would preach, he would pause periodically. And unlike today's preacher who might say, will someone say amen? Will someone say praise God? He didn't do that. But he would say this. He would say, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Why was he saying that? Because he was calling to those who had, you understand, he wasn't talking about these things. He wasn't thinking, am I preaching today to a group of mutants that have been born without ears? That's not it. He was talking about the ear of the heart. Because you see, the gospel, when it's ministered, the word of the Lord, when it's ministered, is always ministered on two frequencies simultaneously. And therefore, in order to be heard, it has to be heard with the second ear. So there is that, there is the frequency of my voice, you know, of my vocal cords that hit your eardrums. But there's another voice that's in the room tonight. And listen to me, he's a talking God. He's the speaker tonight. He is the one that takes this word of life and commands it into your heart. And even those who move with anointing know when there is a voice that's coming from within. It's not necessarily coming out of their study, although it may have been heard there and noted there. But it's a voice that's beyond the voice of this natural, that speaks into the hearts of men, that commands darkness to go, that makes demons tremble, that causes sickness and disease to depart from individuals. This is a reality, sir. This is the truth of the matter. And when the gospel is declared in that way, and the voice is speaking, and we hear that voice, what we hear becomes within our life. I'm talking to you about the God who bears witness, the communicating God, the nature of our God. It's not so much that he's not talking, it's just that we're not listening. And it's not that we're not even hearing. Just sometimes we're not buying into it. You know, Jesus was speaking one day in one of the porches in the temple, and people had come around him, and they were antagonistic Jews, and they were saying to Jesus, if you're really the Christ, just tell us plainly. No parables, just straight up now. Come on. If you're actually the Christ, tell us plainly. And remember how he answered them? Remember how he answered them? He didn't say, well, if you're going to say it that way, I guess. No, he didn't do that. Remember how he answered them? He said, I told you. But you didn't believe it. And then I understood something. That part of hearing the voice of God is believing it when he speaks to you. Not believing what he said. That too, but not believing what he said. Believing that he's actually talking to you. See, it's not that we haven't heard the voice of the Lord. We just thought it was a crazy thought. What was that? I don't know. Well, that couldn't have been God. Well, don't look at me in that tone of voice. We all do it. I do it. Today. To this very day, God will move, God will stir, God will, and I'll start second-guessing myself. Is that really God? I don't know. Are we all here? Even when I see the healing streams and they come in the room, you can't believe how many times I'll see those things come in, and I'll think, that's not really it. That can't be it. And sometimes he'll have to show it to me two or three times before I'll even recognize, before my brain will embrace what my spirit is picking up on. Part of hearing the voice of God, am I helping you tonight? Is buying into the fact that he's actually talking to you. The scripture says the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. He didn't say he can bear witness with our spirit. It says he does it. It's happening. Come on, it's happening. You must understand. God is always reaching out to you. God is always connecting with you. This is a constant thing. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are. That we are. And in the setting, he says, the children of God. But here's what I'd like you to know, and I think those of you that are the children of God also know this, and that is this, that he's constantly bearing witness with all that we really are. Did you understand that? Not just that you're saved, that you're a child of God, but let me take it there. Let me go from there. Let me throw out something to you that I want you to remember. If you're saved, and if you know how you got saved, anybody saved in this room? Come on. All right. If I tell people, if you know how to get saved, then you know how to get everything that God does. Now, listen to this for a minute. If you know how to get saved, somebody says, well, I know how to get saved, but that healing thing, I don't know, that's like a hit and miss deal for me. And then this Holy Ghost thing over here, whoo, that's way over my head. I mean, I've been trying for 20 years, and I still don't. Because here's our problem. We understand how to get saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, not a way. I'm the way. So we get it. You're going to get saved. This is it. There's not multiple ways. He's the way. He's the door, correct? He's not one of many doors. You can't say, well, he got saved by having faith in Jesus, but I bought my way into the kingdom, or I worked my way in by good works. No. Well, anybody that's really saved knows that's not how it happens. And it's not being narrow-minded. Here's the deal. There's a door. It's him. That's the door, right? You see that? Right there, there's your door. That's how you get into the kingdom. I got that one. But now this, I don't know about the healing thing because I never seem to get that door to open. And the Holy Ghost one, I can't even find the door. You know? And here's your struggle. Is you think there are multiple doors. There's always and only one door. For the same one that saves is the one that heals. You understand that? And the same one that heals is also the one that baptizes in the Holy Ghost. He alone is the great provider. You must understand that. He is Jehovah Jireh, and he is El Shaddai. That's who he is. There are not multiple doors. And that's why sometimes we struggle, because we say, well, I know how to get saved, but I don't know how to get these other. That's because we're trying to find other ways. There are not other ways. He is the way. And everything like this. So he bears witness. He bears witness with us that we are. Everything he said we are. Everything he's designed us to be. He continually bears witness. So he said, well, I only bore witness with me when I was a child, when I became born of the Spirit. I knew that I knew that I knew because. Is this true? No one figured their way out into this thing. No one passed a theological exam and got on in because of that. No one did great achievements and then they knew they were in. There was something that happened right here. In fact, most of us, when we got saved, good night, if we would have had to pass a theological exam in order to get saved, we wouldn't have made it. In fact, some of us still wouldn't make it. But when it happened, there was two things I can tell you about it. Not only did you know when it happened, but you knew it was coming. No one walked out of the service. If it happened in church. No one walked out of the service and stepped in the foyer and said, wow, didn't know that was coming. I ended up saved today. No, you knew when it was coming. Because there came a revealing of who Christ was. There came a hope where you had no hope. Prior to you entering the kingdom, there was a light that shined upon you. I'm using different metaphoric statements, but you understand what I'm saying. There came a conviction of sin, a pulling on your heart, a stirring within you. And you hadn't even entered in yet, but you could, come on, you know what I'm saying. No one just all of a sudden said, wow, I just kind of like a drive-by shooting. You know, I come from Chicago. You know, there are no drive-by salvations. There's no one that said, I didn't even know it was going to happen. Oh, no. Anyone that got it knew it was coming. Before it happened, the choice was yours, but there was a stirring that was happening within your heart. I'm talking about the nature of God right now. And I'm trying to help you understand that he is one God. There's not a healing God, a saving God, a what? No, no. There's one God. And when he reveals himself, you can enter him all the time. Every time, in that very same way. He bears witness that you are. That you are. You want to look for it. That's why earlier I told you something. I tell it to people all over the earth. That he's going to move among us. And something will begin to happen. Identify what you want from him. And then look for something to stir, to go on within your heart. We say, what do you mean something? You're looking for the one who bears witness. The one who gives hope where there was no hope, who instills faith where we have no faith. You understand he is the author and finisher of our faith. You don't actually have to come to him with faith so he can do something, because he doesn't need your faith to be who he is. You getting that? And he's completely sufficient within himself. He needs nothing of me or from me in order to be who he is. Someone says, if you believe, God can. No, God can whether you believe or not. He doesn't need you to enable him. That's a shouting spot right there. We were in a camp meeting. Someone would be doing at least one lap right now. Yeah, he is that. So what you do is you come into his presence and you start looking for that moment of the divine connection. However it will be, that moment of the bearing witness of God. It's not that I don't believe in intercession and in praying the will of God or any of those things. I not only believe in it, I do those very things. But let me tell you, when I have a great need within my life, instead of, is this close? Is this close? Okay, good. It's almost like we're breaking. Instead of beating on the door or trying to push my way in, you know what I've learned to do is I tend more so just to sit there. Just wait in his presence. Because I find that I can't make these things happen. I've told people that for years when I pray with them, because they think they gotta make something happen. You know? You don't have to make it happen.
to make this happen. Take a moment in his presence. Let me tell you what he'll do. He'll draw you to himself. He'll draw you to himself. He will. And so, it's a wonderful thing. Am I on at all? Because I don't feel like I've got any audio. Raise that baby from the dead, would you? Praise God. Hello, hello, hello. Am I still there? No? Yes?
Okay, good. Oh, praise God. Listen to that. I hear myself. That's so nice, isn't it? All right. So he bears witness. It's the nature of God. Do you remember? Is there anybody in the room that grew up in church? Huh? Yeah, look at a bunch of you. Do you remember back when we had testimony services? Do you remember those? Huh? People would get up and testify. And sometimes, now I don't want you to think that I think that all those moments of testimony were negative, because they weren't. But sometimes you see people get up and they'll say something like this. You know, you all know about this or that I've been going through, and what a hard time I've had. And they spend, half the time, more than half the time, talking about the problem, whining about it. And then they say, and then the Lord set me free, and I can't even tell you how. And we're all, oh yeah. And I'm thinking, no, that's not a great testimony. And we thought it was cool that, oh, this is so wonderful, God did it, and we can't even tell you how. I'm thinking, no, you need to be able to tell me how. Because if you can't tell me how, not that you're figuring God all out, but if you can't tell me how, let me tell you where you're at. When trouble comes up, you still won't know what to do. When round two comes around, you won't know what to do, because you never figured out what happened in round one. And not only that, if you never even deal with anything like that again, but you probably will, maybe not that same thing, but in this world you will have tribulation. All right, let's just face it. All right, so it may not be that thing, but guess what? There's something else coming down the tube. You need to know how. And then you need to help someone else know how. Because it's not really just all about you. There's a thought. You need to know how to recognize the witness of the Spirit. Because it is by those means that God establishes within you who you are in Him. That's where you see it, so you can do it. That's where you hear it, so that it becomes that way within your life. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There are great biblical examples of it. A simple one is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. I'm not going to read it all. It's a great story, verses 25 through 34, if you'd like to open to it and just watch it as I make comments. But in Mark 5, verse 25 through 34, is where you have a woman that comes to Jesus. She's got a uncontrollable hemorrhage. She's had it for 12 years. She's gone to many other sources, physicians, to get well. She spent everything, the scripture says, that she has, and she's emptied her bank, and now she's no better. She's actually worse. And when she hears about the Lord, she doesn't actually come and stop him and present her need. He's on his way to the home of a girl that's about to die. And so she just comes through the crowd and touches from behind the border of his clothes, because she's saying within herself, if I just touch his clothes, that's all it's going to take. If I just touch him, I shall be made whole. And now, this is the interesting thing within the scripture passage there. When she touches him, the Bible says this: immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Did you see that? Did you open to the text at all? The scripture says, she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Something happened that bore witness with her. And the way it bore witness was through a feeling. Now, I know some people really want to, in our society, I should say, because it's not this way worldwide, but in Western society, we tend to be so analytical that we want to remove feelings from each other as though that they are detrimental or they will derail us in some sense. But you got to understand that God made man spirit, soul, and body.
He made man's spirit. It wasn't that man was spirit until the fall, and then he got a body and a brain. That's not how things worked out. He made a spirit, soul, and body, and he knows how to interact with us at every level of our makeup. And for those of us that think that it's all spirit, and you just get in the spirit, it's just spirit, that's really not true. It has, if you're going to be complete in him, if you're going to function fully in him, if you're going to function in completely as you're designed to function, you've got to know how to respond to God and detect God at every level of your makeup. So there are those spiritual moments of divine impartation and revelation. There are those moments that will be very soulish. And that's not a negative statement. That's a positive statement. All right? Where it will pick it up in your emotions and in your will. And there are times that he will move on this physical body. And this body will recognize the presence of God and will be responsive to the presence of God. And in some cases, the response might make you uncomfortable. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Pastor's already taken the offering and he's not giving it back. So just deal with it. He bears witness with us. With that lady, here's how she knew she got it. Doesn't say she got a great revelation, and she didn't get a word from the Lord. She just touched his garment as he's trying to get through this crowd. And the minute it happened, there was a divine exchange. And she felt it in her body. Can I tell you, it's happening right now in this room. There are people that have needs, and that miracle, that sense of the presence or the touch of God is happening. I hear people all the time tell me that God touched them, and the way I say it is, and it's people whose elevator goes to the top floor. But they tell me they experienced a touch from God. Something that appears at least to be a physical touch. Or they will feel a sensation. I was I had it both U.S. overseas. Doesn't make any difference, and they're very consistent. I remember I was in Dar es Salaam, and a lady came up to testify. I mean, my interpreter, who is quite good, but still English is not his first language, struggled not with my sermon but with her testimony in telling me what she was trying to relate. Now, one of the gifts of healing that function well in this ministry, we have several of them, but one of them that functioned quite prominent from the early days is that for hearing issues, deafness, things like that. And it's not always the same the way the miracle will be experienced, but the end result is the same people hear, but it comes through in different ways. But one of the common ways in which it happens is people will tell me that their ear will pop. We were in downtown Dallas a couple of years ago, and it was a lady that came into the services, and it happened to be a lady that she came in because her son nagged her to the point she would come. She went to one of the churches that knew they were going to heaven and also understood no one else but them was going to heaven. And he told her that there were people over at this church that looked like they were going to heaven, and there were miracles that was taking place. And so she finally decided she would come on in because of his unending harassment to her. She was deaf in one ear. She'd had a mastoid operation when she was 8 years old, so that, and you understand that was a growth in the head, and the only way to access it was through the ear canal. So they had to remove everything within the ear, the ambul, the stirrup, the cochlea, the eardrum, it was all gone. And that when she would never hear, there was nothing to hear with. And so there she sat. I don't know how old she was, but she was an adult woman with a son in his 20s. And she's sitting in the audience because he had nagged her to come. And she's sitting out there. She said, "My ear popped just like that. Just popped in its side, just like that. And I could, and I heard perfectly." She had perfect hearing. She could hear a whisper. And I've heard people say that, and here we were in Tanzania, and there's this Muslim woman, and she's standing up there to testify what Jesus had done for her, and she tells him in Swahili, and he looks at me, and he says, "I don't know how to explain what she said." And I said, what did she say? She said, "I don't know how to say it in English." And I said, "Well, give me an idea." He said, "Well, she was deaf in this ear," and then he stopped. He said, "I don't know how to tell you." He said, "Oh," he said, "well, let me explain it to you like this." He said, "Do you know what the sound is?" when someone pulls the cork out of a champagne bottle? And I said, I know exactly what she said. She said her ear kind of popped, right? That's it? That's the word? I said, yeah, that I've heard that all over the earth. All over the earth. So this is not some lady that's been going to Holy Ghost crusades. But the Spirit bore witness. Others will tell me they feel it. Our people with arthritis or a neck injury or a knee injury will still tell me sometimes it got real hot. Got real hot. Tell people Ben Gay thought he started this heat up thing, but it's not true. The Holy Ghost and fire has been doing it for a long time. Now the people really that'll tell me, I'm talking about intelligent people. They'll say, I got real hot. You know? My father-in-law had a stroke right in one of my crusades. Isn't that a great testimony? And lost the dexterity use of his hand and his arm. And when he got healed, and he got healed in the same crusade, not the same night. It was several nights later, but he said, you know how when your leg goes to sleep and it comes back, you know that sensation? He said, I felt that in my fingertips. And he didn't even know it was God. He said he actually complained to the Lord. He said, God, it's bad enough that I can't use my hand, and now what is this thing? Am I going to be stuck with this weird feeling my whole life? That's what he told me. That's what he said. He told the whole audience that. He said, what is this? He felt it first in his fingertips. He says, it went like a wave, went down through his fingers to his hand. He said, I noticed though when it went past my fingers to the palm of my hand, I had my fingers back. And it went through my hand to my wrist. He said, when I got to the wrist, I had my hand back. It went from the wrist to the elbow. He said, at that point, everything was normal again. So what was that? Spirit-bearing witness. Well, you said, what does it feel like? Well, I don't know. That's not the issue. But sometimes it's feelable. See, what do you mean you don't know? I don't know. To him, it was like a tingling. To someone else, it was like a heat. To another lady, it was like a pop, you know, that took place. Wow. We had someone not long ago on one of our crusades this year here in America. I had terrible curvature of the spine. And they said, my back just began to snap and pop. It was almost like going through chiropractic treatment, they said. Just snap and pop. And then they said I was completely erect. Everything was normal. Just like that. What's going on? It's the Spirit bearing witness. Bearing witness. Look for, and it's not always that extraordinary. So, you know, sometimes it's a still small voice. Sometimes it's a word within the heart. Come on, you say, well, that's not really the real. No, it's very real. That's how you know, most all of you, that's how you know you got saved. Most of us didn't have a transport into the third heaven and stood before the throne where you said, all right, you're in. Right? Most of us got something right here. And that wasn't like, and it, when it came, believe me, when it comes, it's not like, well, I guess so. Oh, Lord, no. When that happens, you know that you know that you know. It's a clear, defined, assuring word. Is this true? You know, the Bible, when it describes that kind of faith, it speaks of it this way. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Isn't that something? Faith is the substance. It's substantial. When saving faith came to your heart, it was the real deal. There's no guessing about it. It brought substance to what you've hoped for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. One translation adds the word yet. I kind of like that. Not seen yet. You may not see it now, but you've got it. Hello? You've got it. I haven't seen the street of gold yet. I haven't seen the mansion on high, but let me tell you what, I got it. I got it. I've got the assurance within. This lady had it happen to her. She felt in her body, and watch this, and the scripture goes on to say, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? She knew it, and he knew it too. He knew it too. And he even asked the question, who touched me? And his disciples couldn't believe he'd asked such a question because everybody's bumping into each other. There's a big crowd going there. Everybody. They said, how could you ask a question like that? Who touched me? Everybody's crowded here. He said, no, this was different. Somebody touched me. And another another gospel writer says it this way. This is how he knew, because it says knowing within himself. But this gospel writer, Mark, doesn't tell us how he knew within himself. The other gospel writer does tell us how he knew. He said, somebody touched me because, and I'm going to quote this from the King James now. So you all know that I am ordained with the Assemblies of God. All right. He says, I felt virtue go out of me. I felt virtue go out of me. And the word virtue in the Greek is the word, happens to be the word dunamis. It's not normally translated virtue. It's usually translated power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. And that word is dunamis. He said, I felt that go out of me. How he knew it. It was that exchange that happened, that witness between the two. Who in the world got this? Who was it? Who was it? Who? There's a great crowd here that's pressing me on every side, but someone made a contact right here. Come on, this God who bears witness is in this room right now. You need to buy in and see. A lot of people, they'll feel the touch of God. They'll say, oh, I don't know, maybe I'm just getting worked up. Well, maybe you're getting God. In fact, why don't you start looking for that all your life long? All your life long. When I begin to awaken to these things, I begin to recognize touches, nudges, moments of the interaction between me and God. And they weren't happening in church services. They did happen in church services, but they weren't exclusive to that. I would wake up in the morning with the recognition of the witness of his presence. I'd be walking through a supermarket or a store when the touch of God would come in that very way. He is the God who bears witness. That's who he is. Not just on Sundays. Not just when you're seeking his face. He is the one. Listen, when the earth was chaotic, he was speaking and moving. That's what he's like. We're trying to get him to move. Guys, he's always been moving. He's never been dormant. He bears witness. All you got to do is recognize it. You know, they said to him, you know, if you're to Christ, say so. He said, I have. He just didn't believe it. You got to buy into it. You got to buy into it. How does that witness come? Well, sometimes you just know that you know. It speaks within. It just, the assurance comes. Sometimes it's that still small voice that he speaks within our heart. It's actually a verbiage that comes to an individual. Don't worry about that diabetic condition. I've taken care of that. Don't worry about that child that's incarcerated. I've made the way for them to be set free. There comes a word within our spirit. And that way I told you this morning when God spoke to me on the first phase of my ministry, when he said, I want you to be an evangelist in North America, I heard that word clearly within my heart. It wasn't something that had to be interpreted. It wasn't an impression. It was a thought pattern word that came just that way. Elijah talked a lot about that kind of thing. Sometimes the witness comes with a feeling, and sometimes it comes just with a change. Just with a change. You know, there was a series of moments with Elijah. Now, you were just up on Mount Carmel, is that right? And it's quite an interesting thing with Elijah when you look at the case of how this thing progressed. There's been, you know, no rain for 3+ years because he has made that commandment by God. And at the base of the mountain, when they're about to get the rain, after the fire has already been called down, you all know where we're at now in this setting, the fire has been called down, before he ascends up on that mountain, he turns to Ahab and he says to him, go eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. That's what he said. That wasn't a positive confession. He could hear it. He was listening in the realm. Listen, you hear in two worlds. You need to open up your ears. You hear in two worlds. All right? There was no thundering lightning that was going on. When he said there's a sound of abundance of rain, there was no sound in this world of abundance of rain. There was no clouds in the sky. There was no dark clouds. There was no lightning going on. No thundering happening. But he says, I can hear the rain coming. That's what he said at the bottom of the mountain. When he gets to the top of the mountain, he sees it. But he didn't see it till he got down on his face. Because that's what he does. He puts his face between his knees, the scripture says. And then when he gets up, this is profound. When he gets up, he doesn't say, let's start looking for rain. You see any rain? See any clouds? You see anything out there? Huh? And he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He said to his servant, go look toward the sea. And if you've been up on that mountain, and we both have within the last 30 days, here's the deal. You can look from here all the way across the mountains and the valleys, all the way across, all the way across, all the way across, all the way across. And then you come right to this slice right here, and that's where you can see the sea. You're not in a mountain with a sea all the way around you. He got up and he said, I want you to look right over there. That's where you're going to see it. Right over there. It was the clarity of that witness and that vision within. At the base, he heard it. At the top, he saw it. It'll come from right there. The guy goes out and comes back six times. Bro. Let me tell you what. There you go. By the time you sense it, that's why I said to you earlier, when I saw the streams of healing, it's not the Lord is saying, by the service this will happen. That's not it. He's saying, do you see what I'm doing? It always begins there and then shows here. Thank you. Thank you very much. Of course, I got it now. It's right there. So here's the whole key in life. Will you embrace and respond to his witness? When he is bearing witness, that doesn't mean it has to be. That means it's right here. Will you go with that? Will you connect with that? That's like salvation. I told you, if you know how to get saved, you know how to get everything God does. So when he's convicted you of sin, were you saved? No. When he moved on your heart to enter the kingdom, were you saved? Not yet. You had to respond. There comes a moment when God is dealing that we have to recognize the dealing of God. We have to buy into it, and we have to move. It comes to that point where we now, even though he has paid the price, he has given the gift, even though he is calling us, drawing us to himself, at some point we have to respond, and we have to respond in harmony with what the witness is. So we had to come. We had to repent. Believe. Buy into it. But this is it. And then there comes the sealing of the deal. The sealing of the deal. Locking of it in. Which the scripture refers to the confession of your faith. If you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Is that right? Let the redeemed of the Lord, yeah, say so. Not think about it. Not wait for a week. Come on, anybody that's gotten saved, here's the deal. In that moment, you locked it in. You owned it. It was yours. No one comes and repents, calls upon his name, has the working dealing of God happen within their heart, and then when they leave that moment or that place of prayer, however you want to define it or call it, if someone was to say to them, what just happened? No one would say, listen, no one ever says this. No one ever turns on and says, well, here's what I did. I invited Christ into my life. I want you to know I believe that Jesus is the Savior, and I'm convinced now that by the end of the week, I'll be saved. Nobody ever says that. No one says that they got it. Am I right? Right in that moment, there comes a place where you own it. The assurance of that he has spoken and you've responded. You've bought into it. It's not even a tomorrow morning thing. If I ask Christ in my heart, I believe that by tomorrow morning, all my sin will be gone. Lord, no. If anyone ever told you that, you know they didn't get it. Am I right? If that's what they said to you, and you know that they didn't get it. You know, I had some guys, you know those guys. I had some guys come to my home one time, and so they wanted to talk about the Bible. I thought, hot dog, what a deal this is. I'm going all over the world to talk to people about the Bible. Now they're coming right to my house. Sit down. Let's talk. And after a few moments, I made a statement to them that I knew I was saved. They were so shocked when I said it. I wish I could have had a picture of their face. I mean, they literally... He said, you know you're saved? I said, of course. He said, we were told you can't know whether you're saved until you die. I said, well, you'll know then, but what a lousy time to find out. I said, you need to know ahead of time. I said, Paul said, I know whom I have believed in. I said, I know too. He said, we've never heard anyone say that. Well, here's the deal. When it really, see, someone who says, I think someday I'll know, you know they don't have it. There comes a moment where he deals with us. Everything's hanging right there. Will you buy into it? Come on, if you're the Christ, tell us so. The reason why you think I haven't told you is because when I said it, you couldn't believe I said it. I can't believe he said that. Did he say that? No way. No one would say that. That's what's happening to us yet to this very day. He's saying you're whole. He's saying you're free. He's saying, come on, the fruit of the Spirit in you is joy. Say, oh no, Lord, I just have a bad day all the time. No, no. When you come above. Joy is your nature, not depression. To buy into it, though. The moment you do, when you respond to that witness, you lock it in. You got a miracle right there. In fact, it is in that very action that you actually cancel all the works of the devil. So, oh, God bless me, the devil took it away. That never happens when you lock it in. The scripture says this, that they overcame him, Satan, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. But what else was there? Yeah, there was more, wasn't there? Someone said, all we need is the blood. Well, that's the provision. That's his part. But someone has to harmonize with that. Someone has to own that. That's that testimony moment. That's what the real testimony is. The word of their testimony. The word of testimony is not a thank you. It can be expressed that way, but that's not really what it is. What we've done within our church culture sometimes is we've kind of missed the point of what the kingdom really is like. We've developed our own culture. We think testimony is just someone get up and saying and being expressive and thank you to God. But the testimony concept that's being expressed there in the book of the Revelation has nothing to do with the thank you moment. It has to do with a legal moment. It has to do with the accuser of the brethren who is before the very throne of God in the court of heaven to accuse you day and night. And the scripture says, and they overcame him. And this is how it was done. It was done by the blood of the Lamb, but it was also done at the moment of the testimony. You see, if you were a witness, do you know you're a witness? If you were a witness today to an event or something that happened here in this city, and you were brought downtown to the court, and maybe in Fort Worth, and you were called on as a witness to testify, do you understand what that moment looks like? You don't come up as a witness and go to the witness stand, and when you sit down there, you turn and say, I just want to take a moment to thank the judge today and to all of the jury that is here and of course to the bailiff as well about, oh my God, they'd look at you and think, what are you doing? What are you smoking? That's not what a testimony is. The testimony is this. I'm a witness. This is not hearsay. I'm a witness. Let me tell you what took place because I was there when it happened. And this is what I saw. And this is what the witness is. Do you see the sacrifice that was made there? That was my sin that was nailed to that cross. And my sin was put to death and was eradicated by the power of his blood sacrifice. That's what my witness is today. You see what happened there? You see the stripes that are on his back? That was for the healing of this body right here. You see, my arthritic condition was taken away right there. You understand that my cancer was taken away. That diabetes, you see that right there? That was mine. It was put to death right there at the cross. I am a witness of that fact. And when you witness to what God has done, when you testify to what he has done, you have just canceled the devil's ability to take that away. They overcame him. Not by waiting a week to see if it was really so. After they were prayed for, they overcame him by the blood and the witness to that, the testimony. Am I helping you tonight? That's where so many of us have missed things. We don't look for the witness of the Spirit. When it does come, we second guess it. When it does come and we know it's God, we still shut it down until the month is over with to see if it's really going to work out. Did you hear what I just said?
And that's the reason why. That, you see, when you step in, I told you, you go for one thing. And that's not really Bible, but it works pretty good. All right? You go for one thing because all it takes is one to get into the presence of God. And when you get there, you're in the place where nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. And so you must understand that. All you're looking for is that transition moment where he draws you in. Sometimes it's traumatic. Sometimes it's very subtle. Sometimes it's very subtle. It's just a still, small voice. And it comes, but you grab it. You grab it. And you harmonize with it. Oh, you own it. You declare it's yours. There's something about that moment of declaration that's powerful. It's heard in the heavens. It's heard in the earth. It's heard under the earth. It's absolutely supernatural. It rings in harmony with the provision of God. And you're right in sync with it. Would you stand with me all over the room? My Jesus. Come on, would someone worship him for a moment? And let me tell you how to worship him right now. I want you to worship him, praise him, please. But not generically. I want you to praise him specifically for who he is. Tell him who he is. Don't tell him about your problem. Tell him who he is in reference to the problem. Because you were asking God for something tonight. Maybe it was a painful condition. Maybe it was an emotional condition. Maybe it was a financial. Tell him who he is. And bless him in that way. Let something happen between you and him. It's already happened for people within the room. Already in this room, there are people that came in here in pain that don't have pain now. If you looked and checked, you'd find out it's true. You're right, my elbow doesn't hurt anymore. My neck or whatever it was, my back, my knee. There's healing that's in this room. But there's way more than that. If you'll worship him right now. See, when you worship him, you connect with him. It opens your heart toward him. Bless him. Just magnify him. Tell him how good he is. Not generically, specifically. Worship him directly, specifically, with who he is. Glorify him now. Jesus, I will bless you. Jesus, I will magnify you. Come on. If you need healing in your body, tell him, you're my healer today, Lord. You're the healer of my body. We worship you, Holy One. For you that had emotional things, come on, tell him, you're the Prince of Peace. Really, get into it with him. Get into it with him and magnify him, glorify him in that very way. Bless the King of Glory. Jesus, you're the best. You're the one that always commands peace. Your very, the very voice of the Lord stills the storm within our heart. That's how you are. I will magnify you, O King of Glory, and bless you for your good in all your ways. In all your ways. Every one of you that needed healing, would you tell him who he is? Come on. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. You are the one that's bore every sickness and every disease. It was Aroshai. It was laid at you at that whipping post. It was carried up Calvary's hill. It was nailed to the cross and it died with our sin. The sacrifice was great and the gift is amazing. And I worship you in that very way. Would someone please praise him with me? Don't come short on it. Enter into the glory of the Lord. There is divine healing that's happening in the room right now. It's happening for you as you worship the Lamb of God. I glorify you, O Most High. Oh, I will bless your name. 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 Oh, God who hears and answers. Oh, God who comes and touches. Oh, God who communicates and interacts. Oh, God who bears witness. I worship you. I worship you. He's not left us alone, but is always with us. Come on, will you embrace the touch of God? Will you receive it? Will you buy into it right now? The healing of the Lord is here. The deliverance of the Lord is here. Don't be afraid. Step past your fear. Come on, don't say, well, I don't know if I could. Oh, yes, you can. I don't know if I should say. Yes, you can say. Get past your fear right now. Boldly step into it. Boldly step into the touch of God. Some of you just need to start looking for the difference right now. You hear different. You see things different. Things move different. But you got to move them to know. I'm going to tell you what I saw. When we were worshiping, the first thing I saw take place, and I saw it coming literally right in the back, on what is my right-hand side, I saw a flow of healing come in, and it was specific toward the hips. People that were having issues with their hips or their hip joints. That's what I saw taking place. As I looked at that, whenever I see it, it's always very narrow. What I mean by that is very specific. It's not like a shotgun with shot going out. It's more like the rifling of a bullet. It's laser pointed to me. That's how I see it. And I saw hips, but I know it's way more than that, so I always wait before him. And I always ask him, what am I looking at? I don't assume that I'm understanding completely what I'm witnessing, what I'm seeing. I say, what am I looking at? I see hips. Because I'll see that. I'll see it like that. I'll look out and I'll see a flow for cataracts. And God will say to me, do you see that? I say, I see healing for cataracts. What am I looking at? And he'll say to me, well, it's the whole eye. You're seeing the cataract part of it, but it's way more than that. And I asked that. I said, Lord, what do I see? And I saw the lower back come into the picture at the same time at that witness. And I said, what am I looking at? And I knew them. It's one of the gifts of healing that function in this ministry. It's happened. I don't know if I've ever been in a healing service, but what people have been healed skeletally. It's one of the strongest gifts of healing that happened. It was deposited in my heart. And when I mean, if you have a problem with your bones or your joints, that's the healing flow I saw tonight. Now, I saw it specifically at hips, but it's not limited to that. You may say, well, Dale, mine's a knee, or mine is my foot. My hand or my elbow or my neck. I get it. But there's a lot of you that are getting miracles in the hips and the lower back tonight. There's a lot of you that are getting that tonight. It's right here. It's already come. Some of you, when you stood up, your hip didn't hurt. You may not even pay attention to it, but you are now. Or your lower back. Others of you are going to get it right now. Can I pray that over you? Anyone that needs a miracle in your bones or your joints, could be your fingers, your neck, your jaw, I don't know. I saw it in the hips. But it was a skeletal thing, not a muscular thing. If you need me healing in the muscles, he'll heal that as well, because he's not just restricted to bones, okay? Come on. Hello. Come on. Come on. All right, but that's what I saw. Come on, if you need a miracle in your bones, and probably 95% of us do, just reach up and grab a miracle right now. Take it right now. Own it right now. Rashihi. In the name that's above every name, the wonderful name of Jesus, I speak miracles of healing right now throughout this building. And I command healing to happen in you, in your bones, and in your joints. All the way through, and your neck be healed, your jaws be healed. Come on, in your chest be healed right now. No more arthritis in the ribs or in your back. Be completely free. No more curvature of the spine. Be healed in Jesus' name. I have authority to speak to hips right now and tell them to be reconstructed. New cartilage, whatever it takes, a new bone in there. Be fully healed. No more inflammation, no more pain, no more arthritic conditions. No more arthritic. And may I say that again? I feel such a strong pull of God on that. Such a strong pull of God on that. All right? No more arthritic conditions. Let me hang there for a minute right now. Come on, I feel that Jesus said I felt virtue go out of me. I don't know exactly what he felt, but I feel something right now. I call it a real pull. And I feel it right here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be delivered from every form of arthritis. Every form and every place that it shows you, I run out the spirit of that, the infirmity spirit of it, I drive out right now in Jesus' name and heal you in your body. Be completely new. No more pain in your knees or your feet, your hands, your wrists, elbows, come on, shoulders, every bit of this from head to foot, from head to foot. Come on. There's the bearing witness of God. Will anyone say amen to that witness? Will you identify with it? Lock it in. Lock it in. Lock it in. Own it. Own it. Don't withdraw. Don't say, we'll see by tomorrow. Good night. This is your moment. Don't walk out of the moment of your miracle. Enter the moment of your miracle. Amen. 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 You know, we're going to bear witness together. You know, in a moment, I'm going to lay my hands on you, not to be healed, but to agree with you that God has done what he said he's done and that you've experienced it. I want, Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? And he didn't leave until the lady spoke up. Am I right? He didn't say, because she didn't speak up right away. So he didn't just brush it off and say, let's get to the girl's house. He waited until she did. He knew why. And you know why? Because she had to declare it. The scripture, I didn't read it, but the word of God says that when she finally came forward, she came trembling before him. So she had to push through her fear to do it. And then it says, and I love the way the writer of scripture said it. It says she told him all the truth. And it was then he spoke of peace and he said, and be healed. But she was already healed. But that was her perpetual word. Be healed, like be being filled with the Spirit. In other words, you're not going to be sick like this anymore. It was crucial that she locked it in. The second thing that I saw God do, and I saw that come right through here, was healing in the digestive area, abdominally. If you need a miracle digestively, there's great healing here tonight. For you that have an issue with being able to digest certain foods, or you that have acid reflux, or problems digestively, maybe even ulcers or something like that, or colitis. Listen, the word of the Lord is here, and it's a healing word to people that are struggling with digestive issues. If you need a miracle like that, just put your hand just gently right on that. It's right here, right on your core. Let me believe God with you. Come on, go for it right now. Grab it. Some of you already got it. You already got it. You'll know it because there's the peace of God came. And the minute I said it, you said, that's me. That's me. That was a witness of God to you. The witness comes in so many ways. Or maybe you feel a stirring or burning or something within your belly right now, or that area. Be healed right now of every kind of digestive problems. No more hiatal hernias. No more acid reflux. Be healed in Jesus' name. Come on. No more colitis. Be cleansed and be new. No more diverticulitis. Be healed in the wonderful name of Jesus. No polyps or growths within your intestinal tracts. Be healed in the wonderful name of Jesus. No ulcerated conditions. Be healed in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. By the word of the Lord, this is the word of God to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the wonderful name of the Lord. I'm just praying out the things. I know God's doing more than these things. Way more than these things. I'm just praying out the things that I saw, that I noted down. I put them right on my iPad when I saw them. And the final one that I saw, and I only usually get two or three because he's healing so many other things. He isn't trying to tell me all the stuff. There's no point in it. He's just giving me direction. It was right in the same area, so I wasn't sure what I was looking at. I thought, I've already seen the digestive thing. But what I saw was herniated conditions. Now, yours could be a hernia in this area. It could be a lower hernia. It could be a herniated disc. What I saw, though, very clearly was ruptures or herniated conditions. If you need a miracle like that, just again, reach out and grab. Do something. Jesus always had people do something, so I don't know what to do. You can raise your hand, do it. You can put your hand on it. Always had people. You know, the reason why he did that is he was getting them to move. You got to enter. You got to enter. You can't sit on it. You got to enter. Got to enter. So there's a lot of key elements you find by watching Jesus. But he always got a guy with a withered hand. He said, stretch forth your hand. At the tomb of Lazarus, rolled away the stone. He always got people to do something. Take up your bed and walk. He spit in the guy's eyes, said, go wash him in the pool of Shiloh. There's always some kind of action that's happening that gets you in step with what God is doing. My God, we have sat on it way too long. We need to step out in the move with what the Lord is doing. But whatever it is, if there's any type of a herniated condition, we've seen several this year that have been significantly healed of herniated problems. Would you be healed right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on, I close up every hernia right now. I mend every muscular wall right now in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw them in the abdominal area. That's how the witness came to me. So be healed as I saw it there. But maybe yours is in the back or in the disc. Be healed that way in the great name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be cured right now of every kind of herniated problem or ruptured in the wonderful name of Jesus. Now I must speak healing also into the bloodstream. Would you be healed right now in your arteries and in your blood vessels? By the gift of God, receive that in Jesus' name. Come on, anyone who's had a heart problem or any kind of a circulation problem, would you receive the gift of God right now? Be healed in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, I'm going to say it again. I sense such a pull of God on that for the blood and the circulation system. Heart, come on, and your whole circulation system. Be healed. Arteries that have been plugged, be unplugged right now. Those that have had aneurysms, be healed right now in the great name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I command healing to you now from head to foot. You may say, Dale, mine are none of those things, but I got this or that or another. Would you be healed? Just put your hand wherever you have a need right now. In your head, be healed. No more dementia. No more migraines. Come on, your eyes be healed. From head to foot, I'm saying. Wherever you need that miracle, receive that right now. In your teeth, be well. In your throat, be whole. In Jesus' name, your lungs, heart, all of this, be well. All the way through your body, your liver, come on. All of your core, be healed. All the way through your body, even in your skin, legs, feet, in Jesus' name. Man, there's way more healing than what I'm speaking out. You know what you need, and he's right there for you. Can I do this? Because there is power. We talked about the witness, the testimony. We don't have time to sit here and describe all kinds of stuff. But you know what we can do? We can come together before the presence of the Lord and say, the blood did it. I got it. Can we do that? And I'm not saying to do this generically. I'm talking specifically. If he's bore witness with you tonight, if he's touched you in a definitive way, can I harmonize with you on that? Can I lay my hands on you and say amen with you on that very thing? So anyone that's got a miracle tonight, would you come real quick and let me touch you right now? If you had pain and it's gone, would you come right now? Anyone that had a hip or a bone problem, would you come right away? Would you come right away? Maybe it was a vision issue. You see, you didn't talk about vision. I said God heals everything. Whatever you got, would you come right now? Let me touch you. Let me lock it in right now. Let me lock it in right now. Oh, good. Praise God. All right, what do you do?
I have difficulty getting out in and out of these small gray chairs. Uh-huh. I just popped up. It's zero issue.
Wow. Is that back, hips? What's arthritis. The deal? Arthritis. Oh, come on. That's it. Yeah. It's the gift of God. You no pain now?
Not right now. I just did three times. Getting in one of those chairs.
One of those lower chairs. You got right up out of it. Can you show me? Good job, buddy. Now you know what's happening. He's making you whole. He's not just stopping pain for now. He's bringing the restoration that's going to change everything. I lay my hands on you and I say amen to the yes of heaven. Will you do that with him? Thank you for taking the pain out. Thank you for opening strength and liberty to us. Thank you for the full transformation that comes. It's yours. It's God. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Anybody that had any herniated conditions, I want to know about it. I want to touch you right now. Whatever it was, what did Jesus do?
I had 6 hernias fixed last year, and in February they said an MRI that they had found 5 more that they don't want to cut out.
Whoa.
But I'm feeling like it feels like God's stitching them up. It's like a stinging kind of a feeling.
Put your hand right in that area. Let me put my hand on yours. Come on, guys. Something's going on right now. Thank you, Most High. I believe it. I believe it. Perfectly whole. Perfectly whole. We feel the stir of heaven, the touch of God, the mending power of the Christ. Right there. It's yours. It's yours. Dear, own it. God, that's mine. My Jesus. Wow. Somebody else, what did he do? You just come with her, did you get a miracle? You're right there for the support. That's beautiful. You? No? No, you're with him. Good. People love each other around here. What do you know? There you go. What do you do tonight?
I received one this morning.
Oh, good. Praise God.
Was walking around, I guess, Walmart. And typically, intense pain from the waist down.
Okay.
And was noticing that we've been walking around for a couple of hours, so there was no pain.
Come on, is someone with her on it? Well, that's your gift, Lord. You bore our sicknesses and carried away our pains. And by your stripes we are, absolutely are healed. We are healed. Wonderful. I feel the heat of God on that. The power of the Lord is real strong on that. It is. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was this morning.
Tonight, I mean, I'm feeling stuff all over. But I had a broken vertebrae. It's been broken since I was a kid. And I heard God snap the bones together. And then I felt him push it into the alignment of my
body. It's right in there now.
Yeah.
Come on, church. Can someone shout amen to that? We agree with the witness. We harmonize with the witness. We say amen to the witness. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. You know, something supernatural happens within us also when we harmonize with what God is doing. I've heard it so many times. One will testify what the Lord has done, and another one clean across the room will catch the very same thing and say they got their miracle. I had the joy of working with some of the old healing preachers before their death, a number of them. But one of them was a guy by the name of Sumrall. Some of you may know who I'm speaking of, Lester Sumrall. And we were sitting at the dinner table, him and I, one day, and he said to me, he said, Dale, some time ago I decided to believe the gospel. Well, he was about 73 at the time. I was in my 30s. He'd been in ministry since a teen. I didn't understand him. And I told him that. Had it been some unbelieving preacher that said, I decided to believe the gospel, I'd say it's about time. You know, had it been a new convert said, I decided to believe the gospel, I'd say, praise God, amen. But this guy, and I know when he said it, he didn't mean that he decided yesterday. But I could tell it was something that wasn't like before I was, you know, saved. And I didn't understand it. And I looked right in the eye. It was just him and I sitting at the table, no one else. And I said, Brother Sumrall, I don't understand what you just said. And he had this little buzz line that he would say, you know. And he would say, you make a decision and the decision will make you. And he said to me, let me tell you what would happen. He said, I was sitting in a service where God had touched many people and there were testimonies. And someone would get up and say, you know, I've been a tobacco smoker for years and years, a chain smoker, and tonight God delivered me, and I'm set free, and I'll never smoke again. And he said, I'm sitting there, I'm pastoring, so I'm sitting there hearing that testimony, and I'm saying, well, that's nice, praise God, that's very good. He said, but you know, really, why don't you come back in about a week and tell us how it's really going? You know, I mean, I know tonight, you know, you say, okay, I've been a chain smoker for years, and I'll never smoke again, but tell me a week from now how it's going. And then someone got up, you know, and said, you know, I've been healed of cancer. The doctor said I had 6 months to live, but now I know I will not die. I'm whole. And he says, and I said, there, I'm sitting in the seat. I said, well, that's wonderful. Praise God. He said, but really, why don't you go to your doctor and get an exam, come back, and then let's hear about what's going on here. And he says, and while I'm thinking that, he said, the voice of the Lord comes to me, and he says to me, Lester, you really don't believe the gospel, do you? That's what he said. He said, you really don't believe the gospel, do you? And, there's someone said, what? And he said, the Lord said, well, these people are testifying to what I said in my word that I do, but you're not willing to believe it until someone else says it also. You really don't believe the gospel, do you, Lester? Wow. It was quite a sobering moment at the table that day. And then Brother Sumrall looked at me and he said, I repented there, and I told the Lord, I said, I will believe the gospel. And when someone testifies to what you said you're doing, then my first response is going to be to say, that's just like Jesus. I believe that. And he said, Dale, the moment I decided to believe the gospel, he said, my ministry went to a whole nother level right there. Well, I didn't say it out loud because he's still talking. But I remember that day as I was sitting at the table and I was up at the edge of my chair while he's talking. And I finally, I just sat back in the chair all the way back in it and rested for a moment. And I said in myself, in my heart, I said, Dale Everett, you will believe the gospel. That's what you're going to do, boy. You hear that? You're going to believe the gospel. That's the way it is. And I made up my heart and mind there at about 33 years of age. Not that I hadn't already believed, but I made up my mind right there that when you testify, this is what Jesus has done in you, my response is not going to be, we'll see. My response is going to be, it's just like you, Jesus. I enter into that. I believe that. And I found that in doing so, it's taken me to a whole other place and him. Do you believe the gospel today? Let's thank him for what he's done tonight. Can we do that? Come on, thank him right now. Thank him for what he's done. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your touch. Heaven's anointing that came to you. I knew the gift of God was on you tonight. I saw it when we came on through. I did. I saw it. I saw it when we came on through. I knew you were in line for a miracle tonight. And there are many others in this room right now. You need to wake up and look for what God is doing. Honestly, you need to look for what God is doing. Elijah said, look out toward the sea. You got to, whatever you look for, you'll see. If you're looking for nothing, that's what you'll see. Looking for a reason to be bummed, you'll find it. You want to be angry, you can find a place. You can look around. You'll find something that'll make, that'll tick you off. It just will. All right? But if you're looking unto Jesus, if you'll look for him, you'll see the author and the finisher of all faith right there. Elijah knew just what to do. Look right there. Look for your miracle. I want to tell you, start looking for your miracle. Look, not just tonight. Do it tonight. But not just tonight. All your life. I hope you'll take what I've taught you tonight and apply that every day of your life. You want to start looking for the powerful work and move of the Most High God. Praise God. Now, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Is that right? And Tuesday and Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, I want to talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I love the work of the Holy Spirit. You? I love the person, the work of the Holy Spirit so very, very much. I want you to experience him and all of his power. If you've never prayed in the Spirit, you'll get that too. It's not just about praying in the Spirit, but that's a big part of it. And you must have that. If not yet prayed in the Holy Ghost, it'll happen for you tomorrow night, and it'll happen with ease and with fluency. All right? And then Tuesday night, another divine healing service. You know, people that need miracles, I want you to get them out here on Tuesday night. Listen, God will heal them. God will absolutely heal them. And there'll be identifiable healings. There'll be identifiable healings on the Tuesday night service. And then Wednesday night, we're going to bring some oil out, aren't we? All right? We're going to anoint people with oil in the name of the Lord. It's going to be a great night of refreshing, of impartation. It's going to be a night of generational blessing upon you and your household. Amen. Now, we have CD teaching in the back. I don't know if we have anyone to handle the table tonight, but you do have CD teaching in the back. You might want to pick up before you go. Make sure you pay for it if you pick it up. All right? And thank you so much for coming. We're not going to have a closing prayer because we're not closing. We're going to say goodnight, but we're not going to close what God has done. Do you understand what I just said? I had that word of the Lord come to me as a teenage boy. He told me, don't you ever close a healing service. So I don't. I don't. We don't have a closing prayer. We don't have a closing song. We're just going to thank the Lord for what he's done. We're going to continue to look for the gifts of God within our life. Anything else? Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. And lay my hands on you and say amen, yes, before the presence of the Almighty King, the healer, the deliverer, yes, the God of Israel, who makes all things well. Oh, my God, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you in this. And I bless you. I bless you for the miracle. Completely whole in every way, entirely new. In every sense, he who has begun the good work in you finishes it. Amen. Amen. I worship God. Oh, I thank God. Thank you for that testimony. Come on. That's pretty extraordinary right there. That's pretty extraordinary right there. That's pretty extraordinary right there. That really is. Ooh, he's here right now. Do you know it? He's here right now. I'm all gonna shut up. I worship you, O Lord, for great is our God, and wondrous in his ways. Holy is his name. 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 I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord.
Something that's been in my spirit for a week since I've been praying, and I think this is the time to say this. I just want to say, as your pastor, I just feel like there's gifts and skills and talents in my life that I have heavily accented and run after, and that it's caused me, at the same time, we always play to our strengths, and we want to avoid our weaknesses. And I think that in the desire to be wise and right and truthful, and play it down that side, it's created a leanness in our congregation for the miraculous, for the power of God. All I know is I'm hungry.
Yes.
We have too many sick people and too many distressed people and too many tormented people. And we're living in an age that doesn't want to hear and see the gospel in its power. And I'm telling you, I am not going to be a pastor that just plays it down the middle of the strengths of my gifts. But I just want to let you know, Dale is part of this picture. And last month when we went and had a blowout time with Joe Oden, there are gifts. There's things that God can do through people that he can't do through me because he's made me a certain way. And he's not going to blow me up and explode me to do it. But at the same time, he's going to open me up to some things. He's wanting to take me into an area of grace and into an area of the demonstration of his spirit and his power. And I just want to tell you, I want to ask your forgiveness as a pastor. And I'm just telling you, I'm getting out of the way. God's going to move me into a whole different way, and I'm going to have to figure it out along the way, but he's a faithful God. He's going to lead. But I just want you to not feel a rejection, a restriction, a holding back from your pastor. I don't want to be like Lester Sumrall. But I have to admit that when you said that, because I was wondering, the Lord put that in my heart to share about a week ago. And then when you shared that story about Lester, I went, yep, I have to repent. Because before the Lord, I know that he reveals to me from time to time, you don't really believe my gospel. You don't really believe that I can do it. You don't really believe. And so you're going to hear some more. I know Brother Rex knows this. I poured some of this out to him. We're going to be finishing up a series, and we're going to be going into the fall so you can know to pray for us. Okay? And I'm going to be focusing in on the activity of Jesus and his healing. And there's going to be a sea change around here going into the fall. And we're going to see and experience and feel the wind of the Spirit. And we're going to see the supernatural. We're going to see the miraculous. It's going to challenge and change our congregation, but it's going to result in people being able to come because we have something to offer them. A full-orbed, full service. And so I just want to stand before you tonight, and this is the time to do it. And I will again. I'll have to do this over and over, I think. That's why humility runs. And just say, I just want you to know from your pastor, I'm not in your way. I'm not against it. I'm for Dale's here because I love him, believe in him, and I want this aspect of ministry to happen. But I'm not a professional at it. I don't know half of what I'm doing. But he's going to give us people. He's pulling people alongside, the gifted, to be brought alongside to help. To help us get there. And I'm letting you know, I've not been that way before. I've been in it. I want it. I'm hungry for it, aren't you? I said, I'm hungry for it, aren't you? And God's going to lead us into that. God's going to lead us into that. And if you wanted to pray over that or whatever you feel in your spirit to do, yeah. I'm just going to turn that back to you, Dale.
Let's pray together. We do not create our own hunger. There is that of the drawing of God. Deep calls unto the deep. That means the time has come. The door is open. And the entrance has happened. And it won't necessarily look like another's. It'll be unique to you. It'll be powerful. And the results are always the same. Jesus is glorified.
Yes.
And the unexplainable has taken place among us. I worship you in that. May the birthing of that be in my brother a boldness within his soul and a hunger that will persist and will not take halfway. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Look at Rick. We have sat here Sunday in, Sunday out, loving our brother, and at the same time feeling in our heart because he just can't hold his head still. I would love it if that Israeli procedure doesn't have to happen. Wouldn't you? Yeah, I just love that. Amen. So we're not going to dismiss. We're not going to pray. We're just going to say, Lord, bless you. Come on back tomorrow night, and let's have a divine conspiracy to see something be pushed against and break loose right here at Lake Worth at Vision Church. Amen. Lord bless you as you go.